Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 3 of Cracks in the Wall. We're back with Will, 777, the great work, who posts at the Project Avalon Forum. We're going to dive into some more symbolism, some more code crack, because Will has a lot of knowledge about the holographic ciphers in our language system. And let's get to it, my friend. How are you doing, Will?
Oh, doing great. Spectacular. One thing I wanted to discuss tonight is there's a passage in the Bible about the fig tree, and this is very important. There's a scripture saying that when the branches are tender and putting forth leaves, know that summer is near. Well, the fig tree represents wisdom and consciousness, because we have to figure things out. And fig has a numerical value of 22. And as far as the fig tree, the nature of the fig tree, I used to live in the South and I used to pick figs. Where if you want the fruit or you want the fig, you have to reach beneath the leaves. So the esoteric teachings or the true meanings or the hidden meanings are beneath the leaves of the esoteric writings. So the fruit is hidden beneath the leaves. As a woman would hide her sacred parts, you know, or cover, you know, as Adam and Eve covered themselves in fig leaves. So I just wanted to mention that. It's very, very important to know that summer is near. And, you know, we're talking about the fig tree, because fig tree is a summer fruit. We had been told, you know, that we were going to have this group mass awakening in the coldest time of the year, which is the winter. And that's not the order of the universe, because life finds its fullest expression in the summertime, in the heat and fire, because fire and heat is the transformation. It's the transformer. So we start off into spring, into a new life, and then we find ourselves, you know, life finds its fullest expression in the heat when the fruit has turned from green to red to purple, all these, you know, beautiful different colors.
Fascinating, and that's when the Kundalini rises in the heat of the summer, that Mars energy that we were talking about, when the blood gets flowing. And you mentioned the word transforming or transformers, and those two films that were out, the new Transformers revisions, that they were loaded with symbolism. The release date, I believe, for the second Transformers was on 747. So you have a code that's very similar to, again, the Oz 77, the number of the Statue of Liberty, which is 7 and 11, because she's on the 11-pointed base. 4 could be broken down to look like 1111. So you have an 1111 there. So there's a 711 right in the release date for Transformers.
O.J. Simpson did that thing when that took place, and I was mentioning the bloody glove. It was item number 77. We had the 7-7 bombings, and Washington, D.C. sits on the 77th parallel. So the 7-7 energy is just a code for zero-point energy, you know, because the two sevens give us Z, and Z is at the location of, is at the point in the alphabet of the number 14. Yes, when you count from the middle, when you count from 13 to the end, Z is 14. So you have that, you know, this zero-point energy code constantly being, you know, put out there. Oh, also one thing I wanted to mention while it's on my, fresh on my mind. For the past year and a half, we've been having a lot of repetition of the number 61. And you've been hearing of all these earthquakes that are 6.1, 6.1, 6.1. Well, this goes directly to Revelation 6:1 when the seals open up. So you can see how it's all coming together, how it's all tying together, because 61 is a mirror of 16, which is pi. So 16 is, you know, a new consciousness, new awareness, new beginning.
That's fascinating. And I think they just had an earthquake off the coast of Taiwan that was close to that. It was a 6.4 or something of that magnitude. And they actually said that all the people that were injured in that were, there were 64 people that were injured in a 6.4 quake. And that's not the first time that I've heard that peculiarity, where the amount of people that were injured or hurt in an earthquake matched the exact magnitude of the earthquake, which is an interesting synchronicity. And well, just that one last thing I'd like to say about the Oprah Lady Gaga phenomenon is that it's another play on polarities. Like when you see Britney Spears and Madonna kissing, making out on stage, like we talked about in a previous episode, you know, Madonna's wearing black, Britney Spears is wearing white. So purity and sort of the sinister, you know, ice queen.
Right.
And that was the same thing with Oprah and Lady Gaga. Oprah was dressed in all black. I mean, everything black. Black earrings, black shoes, black dress. And Lady Gaga was in an absolutely pure white gown. So we're looking at polarity systems. And I just watched that that film, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which is about an immortal who starts out as a monk and who's in perfect harmony and equilibrium with the universe and with nature, and who simply tells the story of the cosmos, basically, to keep it moving. And the devil comes into his monastery and starts making wagers with him, starts making bets, and actually lures him into this polarity system where he constantly has to choose between the right and the wrong way. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers about the film, but he lives for thousands and thousands of years. His name's Dr. Parnassus. And one of the scenes that towards the end of the film, he's walking through a desert. He's covered in sand. And he's had to make all these choices between good and evil, between right and wrong, for so many thousands of years that he finally just falls to his knees and starts praying to God, just please, you know, enough with this polarity system, enough with these choices. I don't want to make another choice. Let the river decide which way I go. Let the sands of time decide which way I go. And he comes upon this post that says the high road and the low road. And he grabs onto the post and he just knocks it down and he goes, please God, no more choices. And he just starts meditating and kneeling before God and asking to be freed from this dualistic system. So we see it predominantly that our spirit collectively is manifesting on the stage with these actors as they are the as below resonators of the stars above. Yeah. What do you think about that? Have you seen that film yet, Will?
No, I haven't seen that. I definitely want to take a look at that one. And as you were mentioning, Oprah, I just want, you know, why these things are in my head, I like to cover them. Oprah in the Kabbalah is the mother of Goliath. And Goliath is Ophiuchus. And Oprah was saying that she would be retiring in 2011. So that's the crushing of as you open up your eyes, you start seeing a lot of these things as myths. So Ophiuchus is the Bigfoot that crushes the serpent's head. So that's where the myth of Bigfoot comes from.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of strange that she pre-announced her retirement so far ahead of time, so far in advance. And phonetically, her name Oprah also kind of reminds me of Pharaoh. It's got the mm-hmm. it's got the word for Pharaoh.
Right.
And her show is in Chicago, as we've already talked about. Chi is that sexual energy, but there's
right.
more to it than that. The Chicago Midway Airport is laid out in a perfect X pattern.
Exactly.
The Midway in mystery school teachings is what is it? The point of no return, right?
Right. That's the number. That's the letter 13 in the alphabet. You want to get to 13. That's the midway. That's the birthing point. That's where you get to M and N, where man is, or 3.14. That's when you start moving forward to the zero-point energy. Yes. Yes, definitely. And Oprah also, 360 degrees, becomes Harpo. And the Harpo is the constellation Lyra, the harp.
Right.
As above, so below. We have the harp below, and we have the harp above. The harp above is the one that starts off the apocalypse, that, you know, starts off the awakening as we go through the Stargate of Vega and enter, you know, go through the water door of the ninth gate of Sagittarius, because all this is in the constellation of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is also the teapot, so we have the tea party and all these types of things, and Alice falling through the looking glass, you know, at the ninth gate of Sagittarius. So, yes, it's definitely all connected.
Right, and the X, I guess it's known as the judgment center where we stand on the letter M, right? Transcending duality. The midway is the resurrection judgment card of the tarot. So you notice the number 20 on the card, right?
Right, right.
And I read some of your posts on that. Basically, when you talk about the secret of Chicago, it's that it sits on a main chi line of the world that also runs through Paris. So the
right.
code is chi and ago, which reminds me of Argo,
exactly.
like Jason and the Argonauts, which is coming out soon too. They're making a remake of that film.
Correct. And then if you're you see the Da Vinci Code, Tom Hanks is looking down and looking at the mark where it says Argo. And that marks the chi or ley lines, and this, you know, it ties in right to Wells Fargo, because the whales go far. They go all the way to the Archuleta Mesa, you know, and Mexico. So that's this one ley line, this major ley line that goes all the way through. So you have your Wells Fargo or the Wells Go Far.
Yeah, the Wells certainly do go far. I'm in a 5-year loan, car loan with Wells Fargo, and I think I owe more in my vehicle than I started out.
Yeah, you see, you have the Rosewell or the Roswell. The mm-hmm. Rosewell is the Rose line. And you have this great mystery of the Rosslyn Chapel. It's just a play on words. It's the Rose Line Chapel, because that's where the Rose Line goes through. See, so all these secrets about Mary, where Mary is, it's talking about the ley line.
Mm-hmm. And what yeah. is the etymology of the word ley line? What is that? I see the word key line almost.
Well, we're talking sexual energy when people say, I want to get laid.
Ah.
So we're talking of the Pleiades or the play. Or you see, so our chi energy comes from the Pleiades. Through Taurus, you know, and the thigh of the bull. So that's where the breath comes from.
Right, that's where our ancestors supposedly come from as well, right?
Most definitely, exactly, yes. That's the Shawshank Redemption, the thigh of the bull, the shank right there. Yeah, so you have this Khalees energy bringing the milkshake, bringing the boys to the yard. See, we've had the milkshake, we've had the earthquake. So the yard is 360 degrees, so it brings all the boys. So boy reverses yod, which is the flame, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the milkshake brings the flame to the 360 degrees.
Yeah, the burning bush, right?
Exactly, the solar plexus. Yeah.
Wow.
So yes, it's like I'm saying, you know, like we're saying, it's a play on words. We're dealing with, we just had a Ruby Tuesday, which was on the, you know, 112, when this major earthquake took place in Haiti. And Ruby Tuesday is the day of man, is connected with Mars and has this, you know, this Cancer energy. And I wanted to definitely discuss with you Cancer, because Cancer is cold. They opened up the movie Avatar with saying that you're not in Cancer anymore, you're in Pandora. Well, they're really one and the same, but it's a cold. And one thing about a cold is a cod or a fish that we have to bring up out of the water. Okay, Kansas, if you look at the word Kansas, it's right there staring, you know, in the face. You have the S-A-S. The A is the phallus, the first thing that, you know, comes from the darkness of the void. So you have the S-S and the Kundalini, the two S's on each side of the staff right here in our face, you know, but it's in the letters.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of strange synchronicities and symbolic ways they use Kansas that's not related to the Wizard of Oz. They have a couple of movies that are based around sort of Satanism, where they say Kansas is the most loaded evil place in the world, and when you fly over it, it's like a Bermuda Triangle effect. So they take those words and they make them seem dreary or darker than they actually are.
Yeah. Well, so you have Cain and Sas, and Cain is Mars, you know, or Cain is Mars. So we're talking about this Mars energy as Dorothy had the red slippers on, you know. And whenever you're able to click your heels together, it means you're not swift. Your thought is not swift. Remember, Cinderella had one shoe, or you had the man with one red shoe. You have this Percy Jackson, you know, on one of the posters, you see one red shoe because his thought, the swiftness of thought, and be able to think, you know, really fast. And back to this Kansas energy, you know, you have a Mars, and you have M&M, which is 26, so we're talking about zero-point energy here again, Mars. And
it's curious, too, the Mars energy is, you would say that it's associated with sort of, you know, violent acts, things that shed blood, that kind of a thing, because it's God, Aries, the god of war. So even like in Hurricane Katrina, or any time that we're hurrying Cain, everybody puts signs up warning the population that there's a hurricane coming, and what you're doing there is hurrying Cain, or that Mars destructive energy. So it's like a ritual that fuels the actual destruction. It fuels.
Exactly. You're calling on Cain.
Right.
Definitely. Now, this the same energy, it's the axe swings both ways, you know. It's Paul Bunyan swinging the axe. You can use that axe to build, or you can use that axe to tear down. So it's not, you know, just only destructive energy. You know, the same energy we use to build is the same energy we use to tear down.
The symbolism of the axe is very, very curious as well. You would say it's one of the most predominant symbols that the Illuminati uses, just sort of hidden in plain sight. Such axes basically are said to have been used to cut down cedars, used in the buildings of the allegorical King Solomon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, remember the allegorical in King Solomon, neither hammer nor nail was heard in building the temple. So you're talking about the temple is the mind. You don't need hammer or nail. See, Nimrod is this concept of someone who feels like they have to do something. Bob the Builder, yes, we can, that, you know, Obama was preaching over and over. Yes, we can. We can do it. But when we become conscious, we start to do things with our mind, and we don't have to build with our hands. And we realize that there's really nothing to do, because if there's something to do, you're caught in time. So there's nothing to do, because all there is now. So there isn't really nothing to do, because we have everything that we need right here in front of us. But we've been taught to constantly chase the white rabbit.
Precisely. And, you know, a lot of times in history when they talk about the temple or they talk about physical structures, they are just basically representations of on a macro scale of the human biological systems. Things that are happening in our brain, as you say, the secrets are in our secretions and our hormones.
Definitely. You look in all the major cities, mostly in the major cities on the south side of each major city, there's a Broadway. And that's not by accident, because the Broadway is in the Great Pyramid. It's, you know, it's the one of the shafts that's really broad. And then you have the narrow way that's leading up to the Queen's Chamber, or to where the Ark of the Covenant is, the Sacred Chamber is, you know, in the brain. So you have the straight and narrow, and then you have the Broadway. So this is not by accident, and that is down south, and things are called the Dirty South, because we're all talking about the sexual energy. We're talking about the root chakra, that slavery started in the south. So our own slavery starts in the south. You know, so you even look in the slave stories where the slave was looking north to the North Star, or he would leave in the spring and head north. You know, so all of this is tied in together in what our own awakening, you know, as we head north, or as we look north, as we look to the North Star, we look to the Pleiades.
But it's also keeping us sort of wrapped in three-dimensional logic, or sometimes even two-dimensional logic. We're following the cardinal points, and that restricts us to the movement that we're used to in this three-dimensional world, whether we go north, west, east, or south. And the Ark of the Covenant, these sort of the pinnacle way that the ancients supposedly contacted the gods or found the god or the sun within, are usually references to the pineal gland or the pineal gland, because on either side of the thalamus in the head is the pineal on the posterior, and the pituitary on the anterior side of the thalamus. So the pineal secretes a yellow or golden fluid that's like the honey that they talk about in biblical references, right?
Right.
And the pituitary body opposite to it is ellipsoid in shape and contains a whitish secretion like milk. So you have the milk and honey, as in
the land of milk and honey, yes.
The land of milk and honey, right.
Right, and the goal is to return to that land of milk and honey. Yes, definitely. The like you said, the secretions are in the secretions, and you can look in the Bible and you see these stories of where Moses went down and Moses went up, or Jesus went down and Jesus went up. It's just talking about the sexual energy and being able to raise the sexual energy. You have Jesus telling the story of casting the net to the right side of the boat. He was just saying, you know, over the energy to the right brain and to the right brain. And once you do that, both boats were filled. When the disciples did that,
mm-hmm.
both boats were filled. So
it seems like the word net is usually meant to catch us all in a net of this sexual energy, like www.whatever.com, the internet. I mean, what is done on the internet more than anything else? Usually just surfing for ways for sexual release, pornography, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because net is an ancient Egyptian word for Isis. You see Isis with the fish on her head in ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have, this is where we get the words like genetics from. you know, or just G-Net. And you have Sandra Bullock, and the Bullock is the bull. So you follow her career closely because she is this Bullock and this Taurus, this Hathor energy, you know, speaking of the net. Or we have Catch-22, and you have the fishnet.
Yeah, the fishnet stockings, right? Fishnet,
well, they lead to the sacred feminine womb.
Absolutely, they do. That's very curious. I've always wondered why they, decided to name them that, and why I always thought of Pisces and the age of Jesus, how he always is represented by the fish, and how that is just taken from older deities as well. The Eye of Ra had a fish tail originally. The original symbol of the Eye of Ra had a very similar symbol to the Jesus fish, and he always said that he was the fisher of men and that he would be with us to the end of the age. So, again, zodiac allegories.
Right now we're in the sign of Pisces, so you come out of the water to half man, half fish, or the Dagon or the Dogon. Mm-hmm. See, because right now you have Pisces, and then you have Aries, or P and A, which is 17. So you have Pisces, which is the feet, and Aries, which is the head. So you have B washing A's feet, you know, bringing the head and the feet together, you know, as Mary washed Jesus' feet. So these complementing polarities are the Ouroboros coming together, you know, creating the circle. So the head and the feet are coming together.
Very interesting.
You have the 12th sign of the zodiac, and then the first sign of the zodiac is Aries. And in all reality, Aries is the first month of the year. And it's called in the Hebrew Nisan.
That is fascinating. And before birth, the human fetus floats basically like a fish in the fluids by which it's surrounded in the womb,
exactly,
in the waters. And it's that's where the child forms on a physical plane. So it's basically the spiritual child is born. Is in the solar plexus of Bethlehem, you could say. So
right.
By Joseph and Mary furnishing the material in the pituitary and pineal gland for the spiritual child, which was to redeem the child or body formed in generation, paid the
right.
It's symbolic, the redemption prize, basically.
Definitely. See, we have now we're going into Aries right now. So you have the battering ram, because every when we look at things only one way, we suffer. So even a child, when it's getting ready to be born, it turns its head 360 degrees. It turns that other 180 down, and that head becomes the battering ram against the cervix, just to initiate the birth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this battering ram energy. You have this that's all tied into femur, FEMA, marching. Martial law, it's all tied into Aries. It's all tied into March, you know. So there's, you don't have to be guessing about these things. You just look and you just see how all things are connected. And, you know, even the butterfly turns itself upside down. And in that state, it's vulnerable, but that's the birthing state of all things. You know, the hangman turning upside down and his head is glowing, you know, because he sees things more than one way. He's beginning to see 360 degrees. He has turned the other way. So that's, you know, that's the point of birth. That's the way we have birth, you know, we turn that other 180 degrees and then we come out.
It's Ouroboros. It's the birth cycle and the death cycle. It's like all, it's very, very mathematically encoded as well. Our actual cycles of life and our cycles of death and how we come into this world. Basically, you know, once the soul awakens and becomes conscious, it exits the same way as it takes back its source of energy. It's ascending the chakra system, which is 7 times 7 is 49,
right,
and making the Jubilee exit through the crown chakra. And this is the 3 triune nature, 5 quintessence, 7 the perfected union of matter and spirit, magnum pi as in the pi process.
Right, exactly, definitely. So the thing is to is when we stop suffering, it's when we start seeing the connection in all things. And when we start seeing that connection in all things, and those who think they rule us or that we thought rule us start losing their power. Because
precisely when you visit Las Vegas and you start thinking about it as the etymology of where it comes from, and it's actually the vagus nerve. And the program that I use to edit my videos on is Sony Vegas. So you start to just comprehend exactly where these words come from and why they're used in the specific ways that they are is very, very intriguing.
Right. And then, see, and then we connect with the hangover in Las Vegas, or leaving Las Vegas, or leaving the vagus nerve, you know, and you see the guy in the movie Hangover, there the tiger was, you know, in the movie, showing that tiger energy that we're in right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, they steal Mike Tyson's tiger. That's right, and that's tied into the Tiger Woods saga. They're acting out this gigantic ritual on the world stage where he's really promiscuous and he's falling from grace, and all of his supporters are just bailing on him because he's this big promiscuous fallen star now. But it's all a big charade. It's all a big drama, you know. And like you said, he's having a car accident and he's hitting a tree, which is causing pine cones to hit the ground and fertilize and spring out new trees. So it's all geared towards fertility. And I went in on the Red Eyes creation show. I wanted to detail on all your research regarding Peter Pan and the Lost Boys and Captain Hook and Michael Jackson. But I wonder if you could maybe elaborate a little bit more, because in the first episode you said you were going to expound a little bit more on the O.J. Simpson ritual, the juice ritual on the one glove, and how that's very similar to how Michael Jackson had his one glove. So would you like to expound on that?
Well, we're talking about the fifth element, and you remember O.J. was 32, which is... you know, his number was 32 on a jersey. So when we're speaking of jersey, we're speaking of the cow. You know, we're speaking once again of this cow energy. And OJ was in Capricorn 1, so we're talking about the sacrificing of the goat once again. And right now he's in love lockdown facility doing 33 years. So right here you have a whole ritual of suppressing the kundalini. You know, this right here in your face. So if you're following this trial and you don't know the light and shadow aspect of these things, this is what happens, because our subconscious is all knowing. I'm not telling you anything new. We're just remembering. That's all we're doing. And one thing we're becoming to realize is we look at nature and we look around us, we realize that everything doesn't need to come from a book. And that nature and life itself is the greatest book to just look at, to become aware of what's in front of you. There's a story where the allegorical Jesus made, and he said that, how can you understand spiritual things and you don't even understand what's in front of you? You don't even understand the way the sun moves, the way the moon moves.
That makes me think. That makes me think of how Dorothy always, this always said, "There's no place like home." And who was waiting at home? Auntie M or antimatter, right?
Exactly.
They want you to stay in the mythos. They want you to stay in the fictions. So when you go see Avatar, you're completely satiated, and you don't feel like reinventing yourself or reinventing the world you actually live on, because they're presenting us with these virtual reality fictions that are much more comfortable and require less effort on our part.
Right. And yes, and then you end up cheering for the root chakra, and you don't realize that you're cheering for the root chakra, because like I mentioned one time before, the adept adapt. So when you're an intuitive people, are you intuitive in general, and you connected with nature and all things, no one has to come and tell you it's time to move. no one has to come. You don't need a hero or a savior to come tell you, hey, you know, something's getting ready to happen.
You're late for a very important date.
Yes, exactly. That's what it was. So that's exactly what it was. So, you know, here he is, you know, riding the Tarak, which is the lower root chakra, and the whole world, or whoever sit in the theater, watch this drama, cheered the sexual, the root chakra energy, because that's what he was. He was aggressive root chakra and energy. And he took a people who were connected with nature and loving, and took them all the way to the next level of being aggressive and wanting revenge and wanting to, push against what is.
Right, to make a checks and balances system out of thin air, where people are pushing towards the other side just as hard as the other side. And again, this creates friction.
Instead of adapting and moving.
Right, it creates friction between opposites instead of exactly moving on, absorbing it into your life narrative and then expelling it again. You have to, like, retain this, because everybody everybody around you is focused on it, is hooked on it. I remember when the O.J. Simpson trial was going on, I was in middle school, and they basically stopped school so everybody could just watch this drama unfold. And to a young mind like that, a more malleable mind, it doesn't seem like there's a higher masqueradian purpose, a higher theatrical event that's taking place. It just seems like a sad story of again, morals, again, ethical conundrums.
Yes, I mean, you know, all the way to down to the names, that these things are chosen, you know, carefully. You know, you have the guy, Judge Ito, and you have IT, which is 9/11, and then you have O.
Yeah, and Cato, right? That was a weird name, Cato.
Cato, right. So you have all this 9/11 energy that's tied in with it, because you're pulling the chi energy. You know, you're trying to keep the sexual energy in the root chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that, you know, because OJ is Joe and G.I. Joe. And one thing I wanted to explain to your audience about ignorance. Ignorance is just unaware of pi. IG is, you know, 16. So that's when we're, you know, ignorant. You have Seth being the P-I-G, the pig. So we're talking about darkness. We're talking about pi. So when we're unaware of darkness, we're unaware of the feminine nature. That's what makes us ignorant. the bull energy goes backwards into the dust and digs into the dirt. So that makes you stud pi or stupid to go backwards. see, so it's a play on words. All you have to do is just look at the words, and eventually what happens, you look at the letters, and the letters start becoming numbers, and you start, like the Bible said, he who hath wisdom, let him count the number of the beast, and it's the number of a man. So when you remove the vowel and you have MN, it's 3.14. So it is the number of a man. 666 is a carbon-based life, all carbon-based life. So we are the beast.
Do you know the first time that they basically put vowels into our language systems, how long ago this was as far as the human history? Are you aware of when this actual vowel injection took place that the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland so graciously escaped from?
At the birth of the English language, about 500 years ago, they start using the vowels and start mm-hmm. putting them in the system purposely. The sacred orders back then made a pledge that they would rule the world through language, and that they would confuse the masses, and what their number one tool would be is language, is words, and that's what it's been, is words, you know.
They also use colors to trigger us. I believe the terror alert levels of terror as far as the different colors that are associated with that when you're at the airport and they tell you which terrorist alert you should be at. It corresponds with the chakra system as well, because I believe there's 7 different stages.
Definitely. It's, and you notice the most guarded stage is the blue, mm-hmm. which is the throat chakra. So if that's guarded, that means I'm trying to keep you from seeing or speaking the truth, because this throat chakra here is guarded, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want the blues, you don't want the people to speak in utter truth.
I think you're going to really enjoy the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, because the Hanged Man, the character that Heath Ledger plays, the Joker, is actually directly correspondent in the film with the tarot card, the Hanged Man, and what he does to escape death every time when they try to hang him. First of all, he has all these all-seeing eyes and strange symbols painted on his forehead that they don't really explain. When they do ask his character about it, he says, yes, it's just pure satanic Luciferian imagery, something like that. He's pretty, you know, nonchalant about it. But what he does is he swallows this golden pipe right in his throat, right where his throat chakra would be. So when the noose goes around his neck and he's hanging there, he's still able to breathe and it doesn't crack his neck. And it's sort of symbolic every time that they're going to hang him, because they do it a few times in the film. All he does is he swallows that golden pipe that he uses to play his tunes, and it prevents his throat chakra from opening up or from cracking open, and it actually prevents him from losing his soul or going with one side, good or evil, from going to either Lucifer's side or God's side, which Dr. Parnassus sort of represents God. And the character that Lucifer plays, I can't remember his name right now, but that prevents the Joker or the Hanged Man from getting taken by one side or the other, this magical throat chakra protection that he has. And throughout the film, they have the The red dot is very peculiar symbolism. The Hindi dot, over the third eye, the red dot there. So you're seeing red once again, and that's right. the red eye or storm on Jupiter. That's resonant with that as well, right?
Definitely. You know, like we were saying, the Hangman. And I Am Legend, Will Smith was hanging upside down, and beneath him was the dog or the shepherd. You know, we have this hangman now following his intuition. He's hanging upside down, even though he's vulnerable. But he's in a, you know, he's an upside down position. Now, pay attention to the words that are being used in this movie called the Dark Seekers. So stay away from the dark, you see. So stay away from the zero. Because the dark seekers, you know, you don't become a dark seeker. You don't want to be a dark seeker. And then you have this right there, a play on words. I am leg in. You see, and he's one leg in. He's hanging upside down. And to be leg in is to have to be a legacy or to have hindsight. So we're talking about the thigh of the bull once again. We're talking about the Pleiades, pulling that energy from the Pleiades, you know.
He's also a fisher of men in that film. I remember he sits in a very famous building in New York City that's got all this Egyptian architecture in it, and he's actually fishing inside it. So right. He's resident of Pisces in that scene.
Right. He's looking into the reflecting pool. So you're speaking once again of the ninth gate. You're speaking of Sagittarius. You're speaking of the ibis bird. You know, fishing in the. It's the same thing as the DreamWorks logo, where. The little boy is master of the sea. He's sitting in the sea, and he's fishing in the sea, you see, because we can't see light and shadow. But you see, this little boy, or Yod, is master, or this flame is master of the sea, as he's fishing with his rod or his pole.
Yeah. Absolutely. The sequences for all these film companies never cease to amaze me, like Lionsgate. And, you know, DreamWorks, and there's the Pegasus for, what is that film company that uses the Pegasus? TriStar, that's
now,
right.
You know, and I'm glad you brought Pegasus up, because Pegasus is known in the heavens as Area 51. So that's what the one, the heavens is Pegasus, the winged horse. Now, Pegasus is tied in with what's called Amun's horn, which is the hippocampus in the brain. You familiar with the hippocampus?
Yes.
That's where our memory is stored, the hippocampus. So the hippocampus is a pinky-sized shape. So here you have the pun of pinky in the brain, because this is where all your memory is, and this is the rat who has no memory. You know, what are we going to do? The same thing tonight, the same thing we do every night. So this, you have this rat in a maze with no memory on this wheel constantly trying to get his memory back. So, like I said, you have this pinky in the brain energy. This organ is also known as a seahorse or a water horse.
Yeah, that's where we get the idea of our university centers, the campuses, right? The hippocampuses. That's where the students go to retain information, to retain.
Right, and they pay their tuition, and the only thing that's missing is intuition. You know, so you're giving up your intuition. I mean, you take the words and you just reverse them, and you really start seeing what's going on. You look at a constitution and you see that it says cost intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And the constitution does cost you your intuition. Anytime I was discussing with someone the other day about free speech, anytime I tell you that you have a right to free speech, I have just put a vice on it. I just put a lock on it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as free speech. Speech is just speech.
Yeah.
It's just what is. So when I put a label on speech and I tell you you have a right, what about the left? See, so I'm getting you into dictation and into the walking the plank of the phallic, you know, of the ego in this man-dominating society.
Yeah, we're going to have a disclosure project where we're going to close the door on what we don't want you to know, right?
Right, and what is a project but an experiment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an experiment. You look in the less fortunate neighborhoods, the projects. I was raised in that arena and, you know, in the projects and come up around the projects. And what did they give the people in the projects? They gave them cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, you go into Google Images and look at some of the projects, some of the housings, and you'll see they look like mazes. mm-hmm. because the people have lost their memory. They are in a maze. You know, when people say, oh, that's amazing, that's amazing, that's amazing. Yeah, it is amazing because you have lost your memory. And we're we're looking for that cheese. So are we following the cheese of the sexual energy, that chi? Because, you know, the chi comes from the cow, Hathor, that's all tied in together. You know, are we chasing some material cheese? See, so this just mirror reflections, you know, because anything can be an archetype of cheese or following cheese or chasing cheese.
Right, and in Richard Kelly's film, The Box, the main character, Frank Langella, is struck by lightning, and after he's struck by lightning, he says that he works for those who created the light, basically. And what he does, or what the people of the light command him to do, is to write this manual called the Human Exploitation Manual. And right. It's basically setting a bunch of humans through the labyrinth, through the maze, to see if they go for the bait for the cheese. And right. He brings the box, the very right-angled 90-degrees box, to their house, just like their box cars and their box coffins and their box apartments. Right. And he makes them make a choice between $1 million and another human being's life as an ethical test. And it's all written up in this gigantic human exploitation manual. You know, it's very, very elaborate. There's a part where every human gets to go to a library on a checkerboard floor where three water door portals are open before the client, before the human. Okay. And
the 111 there.
Oh. Right. It's the 111 on the checkerboard, and an extraterrestrial basically takes over a woman's body, and she instructs you to pick one of the portals, and that only one of the portals will lead to actualization, divinity, heaven, whatever, the
so
eternal.
You have someone giving you a choice.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. And the other right. two lead to everlasting damnation. And so the camera pans back to the actor who's having to make this choice, and he goes, and if I don't choose anything? And it pans back to the ET, and she goes, eternal damnation. So as if you didn't make a choice, if you don't make the choice, then you have no chance at actualization, at reaching this sort of point of clarity.
Right, and chance is an illusion, because there's what is, and there's an order, you know, in the universe. There is no such, you know, such thing as chance. That's. I'm glad you mentioned the box, because you we can go right to Jack in the Box, and Jack is J-A-K, the master number 22. So we're trying to get out of the box, and the box has six sides and eight corners. Well, the only point that we can emerge from is the center. But we must be wound real tight. You know?
It's like the jack of all trades.
Yes,
whenever they use, isn't the jack the 11th card in the deck too?
Yes. Yes. See, you're dealing, and then the jack is the sun. You know, you have the low jack is the midnight sun, and the high jack is the high moon sun. So you have this this jack energy. You don't know jack. Jack energy. Jack of all trades, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Jacking off.
Jack off. Jack the Ripper.
Michael Jackson.
Exactly. And Jackson has a value of 800. So you have all this jack energy, you know, dealing with the jack of spades card, dealing with that 11 energy, which is a heavenly charged number.
When I'm driving on 95, there's a bunch of billboards for the Hard Rock Casino that's in Seminole. It's in Fort Lauderdale area, and it's just a picture of the jack card giving the horns, the devil horns. That's all.
Oh, really?
It says Hard Rock Casino, and it just has the jack giving the horns. That's all it is.
Hmm.
Curious symbolism to go and gamble your money away all day at blackjack.
Yeah.
And different.
Well, there you have that play on words, because there's no such thing as chance in gambling. These things are all illusions. You're not lucky. You know, even when you turn on Google, it says, you know, are you feeling lucky? You know, there's no, you know, such thing as luck. All these things are illusions. That if there was luck, that means there's no order in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
There's order, and there's an, you know, there's a natural order of things.
And when people think of gambling or Las Vegas or Sin City, they're also that what comes to mind is the Hebrew letter Shin, which
right.
is the 21st level letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 21 is to fall short of mastery by thinking in duality, in dualistic terms. And duality is the only sin. That is that, and that is this, basically. There is no good and no evil. In a circle, angels are demons, and demons are angels. Light is darkness, darkness is light.
Definitely, definitely. I wanted to expound some more on this Kansas code. There's a rule in the occult where you can change a number, a letter, or whatever by 1 degree, and it doesn't lose its occult significance. So if you look at Kansas, it says a snake. Just remove the S. You see, backwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so a snake. And then, back to, like we were speaking of, the Roman god of war is Ares. And then, the Greek god of war is Ares, and the Roman god of war is Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have...
Speaking of God of War, I don't want to cut you off, but I'm curious where they get the name Kratos from, because he's the character in the God of War franchise that's always battling the gods and trying to kill Zeus, and there's a lot of Poseidon sea symbolism in the third one, and if you pay for the collector's edition, it comes in this gigantic Pandora's box, just like the planet that the Na'vi were from, Pandora, or the moon, I'm sorry, and just like the Pandora music system on the internet, which basically finds the kind of songs that you want based on your taste. So the Pandora seems to be floating around quite a bit right now, as far as the word is being tossed around quite freely. But do you know where Kratos comes from? Is that an actual Greek god?
I'm not familiar with that one.
I'll have to research
I know Pan, and when you're speaking of Pan, you're definitely talking about Jupiter. You know, you have Jupiter or Ptah in Egypt.
Okay.
You have the play on words Jupiter or Jupiter, which is Jesus or Jesus or Zeus. You know, you have this same energy. So you have Michael Jackson was the archetype of this energy as Jupiter Pan. You know, and the... walking the plank, phallic energy, the lion's gate where you went to his home, the big clock represents the phallic or the big Ben. B and N is 16, which is pi. So you have this whole drama of Ptah was known to, he was the king of the fairies.
Right.
So this is where all your fairy tales come from. And Ptah would... use his face, or he would shapeshift to entertain the kids. So here you have Michael Jackson doing the same thing. You have this whole thing, but since we don't understand these archetypes, we sit and we judge, and we keep our energy in the root chakra, and that's the goal, is to keep the people that only see things one way, and we'll keep the energy, you know, in the lower chakras.
And it kind of seems like some of the people involved in the rituals throw logs on the fire, because Michael Jackson would always release counter songs that would be sort of against all the paparazzi attacking him and people attacking him for his lifestyle choices, like that one song he came out with, Leave Me Alone. And yet on the other hand, he's doing lots of songs about duality, like black and white, and he's constantly dancing on the checkerboard, dancing on the sidewalk, the different squares. And, you know, wearing the one white glove and the one black hand, and then doing, you know, very bizarre acts like sleeping in hyperbaric chambers and dyeing his flesh different colors. And there was a study that he was actually very similar looking aesthetically, or trying to make himself look like an Egyptian, a very specific Egyptian pharaoh that he would visit on occasion at a museum of his. So it's like he definitely was in the know.
Well, you know, his whole life was based on this energy. You know, you have Ben the Rat and the Ben Stone. You have Michael with the monkey.
The monkey
is in ancient Egypt. The monkey is Awun, which represents, you know, monkey see, monkey do. It's duality. It's Gemini. So, and then the
And monkey is mon key, or the single key, the one and only key.
Exactly, which is the phallus that unlocks the heart. Also, in the heavens, I forgot what the constellation is called, but you see the giraffe, it's near Saturn. So you have this all this energy, you know, this as above, so below energy. You know, you have him as the goat in Aries, the ram. He's tied in with the constellation Auriga, all this goat energy, the apple of the eye type energy. So, yeah, Michael was definitely...
Sure, Pan, the horn god, the sexual god. I mean...
Definitely.
He just repeated over and over again how he just wanted to be like Peter Pan and live in Never Never Land and just enact that story in real life.
Right.
To take
the mythos. You look at Neverland Ranch, you see the Bigfoot, you see Ophiuchus' foot, you see the mountains at the Seven Hills up top, but then you look at the image, you'll see the foot of Ophiuchus right there.
I'm going to pull that up. I haven't looked at Neverland Ranch in a while.
It's actually a beautiful image. And you can see the Bigfoot right there. You know, and as you go through the Lion's Gate, you know, you crush the Bigfoot crushes the serpent's head.
I'm looking at that now.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I wonder if that clock actually was running at some time, or if he always had it at a certain hour. That's really
it. On the premises, there were several clocks, and that was just the biggest one right there at the entrance there to the house. But yeah, there was several clocks.
Very, very.
But he did represent that, you know, that phallic energy, and what happens is you take strengths and you turn them into weaknesses, and then you get the audience to sit back and judge and watch these fake trials and all these things that are purposely staged.
When I was a kid, my father used to take me to Disney World all the time, to Epcot Center, and there's a big tetrahedral ball at the middle of Epcot Center that basically tells the story over and over again about how you know, the Illuminati is going to basically subtly telling you how they're going to confuse our language, control our language, and control our progress and evolution through into the future. And there was a really popular ride based on Michael Jackson there called Captain EO, all vowels noticed, right? Captain EO, and then he would wear the one glove in that film as well. And that story seemed to be kind of Luciferian in nature, about the light star, the bringer of light. Michael Jackson was basically in a space rocket going to different planets and star systems in the universe, in the cosmos, and basically bringing his light. He was the light bringer. He was Captain Eos.
Right, yeah.
And he was dancing.
He also represented the Quicksilver with the one silver glove, the fifth element, definitely. Pepsi, you know, the Pepsi thing, all that stuff, you know, the flame and his hair catching on fire, and Pepe is the ancient Egyptian term for the phallic, and so is also is Coke, you know, so all these things are tied.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I was at CVS the other day, and I just kept seeing everything with the word Pep in it, and you have Pepsi and Pepto-Bismol, and it just endless Egyptian symbolism, because it comes from Apep, right?
Definitely, and P, you know, P and P is 32, you know, that 32 degrees. You have the Giza. So these are all codes for this zero point energy, you know, GI and ZA, and or A to Z. A to Z is 26, or GI is pi, you know, 16, the Giza Plateau. So you have this whole Kundalini story being told on the Giza Plateau with the six pyramids. You have the Anu, or the solar plexus running, which is called the Now. And you have the middle chamber, the secret chamber, and you know, the desert rose, this rose that's in the desert sitting on the ley line, you know, in Middle Earth, in the north, you know, because that's where we finish our great work, is in the north. So there it is, sitting at Middle Earth, you know, the battle over Middle Earth right there.
Wow, that is fascinating. I wonder if we could bring up what we talked about. Alex Jones, sort of these proprietors of the second matrix. It was really, really funny, but enlightening at the same time when you broke down the different elements of the hamburger, because you said there's a lot of things in the hamburger that makes you think as far as encrypted language as well, and how that ties into Axel Heavy Metal Alex Jones.
Well, one thing about Jones, since we've been on this plane this time around, you hear this keeping up with the Joneses and, you know, me and Mrs. Jones, and you wonder where these puns come from.
Right.
With Jones, it's just reverse. It's just one J. And one J is a broken heart.
Or a hook.
So, you know, keeping with the Jones, Precious Jones, Alex Jones. So all these Joneses represent the broken heart, just one J.
Huh.
You know, our fault line in the heart. People who putting thought and blame, you know, on external conditions for, you know, what's happening in their life.
Right.
The Hebrew letter lame or lamed is mirrors our English letter J. So you have Blame and Lamed, or the lame who cannot walk, or cripple, you know, or cut in half like the, you know, the Jack of Spades. So Alex Jones is the archetype of this energy of a broken heart who wants to do something and feel that there's, what was the show that came in the 70s? The Network. You know, get angry. I want you to get mad. I want you to get, you gotta, you know.
You can't get your gnosis from the tube. The tube teaches you everything. We just need to turn the tubes off and look within for our own truth, that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Not saying that everything is a reflection, you know.
Yeah.
The tube is a reflection, is a mirror of, you know, it's a microcosm within the microcosm.
So, yeah, same microcosm. Same concept with Morpheus's glasses reflecting the pills back in Neo.
Exactly. The so Alex Jones is this tin man energy with an axe to grind, you know, heavy metal. You know, I always wonder where that music came from.
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose, right. You know, so you have this, you know, Axl type, or this axe energy, grinding, constantly grinding in your ear, you know, and everybody with an axe to grind that wake up out of this sleep, or you know, kind of waking up out of this slumber that we in, wake up blaming. You know, and people say, you know, they look to blame someone for what's going on in the world instead of just walking the path. Just walk the path. It's really simple. And then we walk the path, we there's a lot less suffering. But when we start pulling against nature, and instead of just walking the path, you know, because what we try to do is we try, instead of walking the whole checkered floor, we try to skip and just walk on the white checker.
We try to avoid, exactly, we try to avoid any obstacle or anything that seems like it would make our path more difficult. I'm definitely...
We seek to avoid the darkness,
mm-hmm.
Definitely. Back to Alex Jones with this hamburger.
You got to break down the hamburger for everybody.
Yeah,
it cracks me up.
You know, he's always talking about building, you know, Bilderberger.
The Bilderberger, the quarter pounder, yeah.
Exactly. Well, he's saying we have to learn how to build a burger. because Alex Jones represents this curbing your enthusiasm. In other words, having beef. Where's the beef? You know, he's on the curb with his beef and his bullhorn. So this is tied in with the Taurus energy. You look right up there in the heavens and you see the bullhorns, and you see Orion right there with his club. So you see this conflict going on in the heavens, and he's mirroring this same conflict on Earth. So you have this, you know, this beef that's constantly going, and that he's constantly, you know, keep roaring, you know, and trying to keep the people, you know, in an uproar.
And the condiments, so, right? The ketchup.
Yes, definitely. So we're talking about this conflict of duality. So we're talking about tomato, which is May 22. We're talking about Gemini energy here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about May 22 is when we enter the sign of Gemini. And then we're speaking of ketchup, you know, catching up May 22 and meat. So this is all tied in with how to build a burger. And right there in the heavens, there's a bun or bunny. So you have this whole energy, and, you know, chasing the white rabbit. You have it all tied in together, and it's all, you know, connected with puns or in punishment.
Capital, you know? Punishment, right. And the burger's cooked in grease, right?
Exactly. And the burger's cooked in grease. So we're speaking of also German energy. Because the German were the Hamburgs, and those who sit in the House of Windsor are Germans. Quiet as kept. So you're dealing with this whole Hamburg energy. So they're calling themselves Buck and Ham. Well, you have Buck, which is this Taurus energy, and you have Ham, which is Ptah, or you have this goat energy. So you have the Buckingham Palace. So it's a play on words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And what was I saying? Oh, mayonnaise. So you have mayonnaise or mayo Nazi. You know, it's all tied in, and Alex is always focusing on the Nazis. So you have this May energy because, you know, the Illuminati was founded in May 1st, 1776, and I think that's Beltane. Is that the celebration May 1st?
Yes.
So. Yeah. So that's one of their ritual sacrifice days. So you have this this conflicting, this Gemini energy because you have Taurus, and then you have the gem in the eye, and the gem in the eye is Aldebaran. You know, mm-hmm. that's right between the bull's eye. That's the red eye right there. That's what we want. That's the target. And we don't want to be shopping or hopping at the target. We want to hit the target.
Did you?
You see, it's all tied in, you know, because hopping, when you shop, you go from place to place. When you hop, you go from place to place.
Right.
And locusts do the same thing. You know, Bible mentioned that this plague of locusts in the last days, where this just represents the thoughts of the masses flying low to the ground, hopping from place to place, not seeing the connection in all things. So we go from aliens, we go to the reptilians, we're up in Andromeda, we're here, we're all over the place when all these things are connected and is tied in with the language. And all language is based on numbers. And before there was language, there was math, there was numbers. And without numbers, nothing would exist. So you start into, you know, to hold someone accountable is to count their actions. So you start counting the things that take place that's happening in front of you. One thing, a secret of this reality that's not just an open secret is things happen in threes here. And the third time gives birth to the higher, to the purpose or to the higher purpose, you know, as in three world wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything
happens. The Holy Trinity, right?
Exactly. When you have a relationship that's causing you great pain or suffering, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have 3 of those.
Right.
That's the cycle of life. Somewhere, somehow, until you recognize and you break the cycle, because the divine is putting these things in front of you in threes.
Right.
Because three times is a charm. So the third time, you know, you don't want to strike out. You want to realize and come to the realization that what's happening in front of you is being placed purposely in front of you.
That makes me think of the double-stranded helix of our DNA and how we're always talking about enlightenment and ascension leading to opening up our third eye. We have 2 eyes, and 3 would be the culmination of this ritual or this pact of threes, just like ascended beings or what we think of as extraterrestrials visiting here, we think maybe have more than a double-stranded DNA helix or a triple strand. So it's like the completion of an incomplete being, a being that's trapped in duality, trying to escape, is always constantly looking for that third chapter to resolve everything.
Well, we also, and here we have another code, which is Dan. DNA is Dan, and Dan is the Scorpio. In the Bible, Dan is Scorpio. Now, so we shed light on Dan Brown. Brown is connected with Scorpio. Look at his last book. You see the Thunderdome right there, and you see the seal being broken. It's right there, you know, it's happening, and it's all dark around the dome, and the dome is your brain. Excuse me, but it's lit within. So you have this image where the world is in chaos and other chaos outward, you know, on an outward base, and then you have this light, this flame that has been lit within the dome. So you have this Domesday or Doomsday. See, so there's a play on words. It's which the vibration that you want to go with. You know, Domesday is Doomsday. It's the same thing. And, you know, one is not separate from the other.
It's incredible. It's incredible how it's evident in the simplest of things to the most elaborate of things in the maze that we're in. Like, even if I go to IHOP right now and have pancakes, it's in my face because I'm eating, you know, now I'm resonating with pan, and I'm in IHOP, which is an I hope, or what we just talked about.
Yeah,
about hope, the hop
selling hope.
Yeah.
Exactly, selling hope.
Selling hope.
Exactly. And then what is a pancake? It's round. You know, you can go to the Muslims, where they were selling their bean pies on the corner, you know, you sit on a corner. You're selling your perception, because being in is 16. So here you are, you're standing on the square selling your perception. It's all, and you have this battle of Seth and Horus, who fights on the red square constantly. So you just look over there and in the Middle East, and there you have Seth and Horus battling on the red square constantly.
It never fails. It's constantly a zone of violence. It's constantly resonating with these ancient archetypes that are just repeating patterns over and over again. We might give them different names through different epochs of time, but it really is a repeating story, isn't it?
It's a repetition. You know, I had a realization about a year ago. I went into Blockbuster, and I realized that it's all the same story. It's who I want to see tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same story told over and over.
Sure.
And you stand, no matter where you go in that Blockbuster, it's telling the same story, whether it's drama or comedy, however you want the story told to you. It's about you waking up.
Everything under the sun has already been done. So, you know, we're going to see these shorter and shorter divisions of pi of the golden mean in our linear time. You know, beings outside of time might see it as a structural foundation of something that is absolutely going to come to pass. You know, fate, destiny, that kind of thing. But, I mean, how many times can we relive the same stories over and over again before something deep within us just snaps and you know, breaks that sign down of higher road and lower road and realizes that there's just one road. There always has been one road.
Yes.
You know, it's only a matter of time before we really come to terms with that, because I don't think that the human race is going to put up with another 100 years of these stories being repeated in their face, because we've woken up to a degree right now where it's becoming rather obvious that something needs to give. There's a splinter in our mind.
Oh yeah, well it's happening. The more we stay in the present, the quickening accelerates. It's like, you know, we're looking at 2012, you know, 212 is the boiling point. So I was looking at the 2012 when we were discussing it a few days ago, and I turned it upside down, and there you have 7-7 right there, you know, out of the twos. And you have two U's that are within the twos, and U is equivalent to 21. Which is 21 is 9, and 9 is 18, which is 666.
So right. 21's the legal drinking age, and it's also the common number in blackjack, like we were talking about. You want to hit 20.
Right.
You want to hit 21 with that ace of spades and a jack, right?
Right. And when you pass 21, you bust, or you go sub, and you go sub. You go through the ninth gate of Sagittarius. You go into the looking glass. Or you fall into the looking glass, or you reflect into the looking glass. Either way, you know.
And you subscribe under the Fallopian YouTubes, right?
Definitely. You're under subscription. You are under the cryption of the kryptonite or the encryption.
Yeah.
These things are what makes us cripple. You can't walk, seriously. And, you know, these archetypes are the same from thousands of years ago all the way till now. So we live in a world of archetypes. We live in a world of archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all around us, everywhere.
Right,
all
that's
the way to a bar of soap, to a tampon. It's an archetype. You have, for example, you have the OB, which is the sun, and which is phallic, and you have the OB tampon.
You have the BO underarm stench, right?
Exactly. And you have the OB, which is Obama, and the OB is the sun, and the AMA is the feminine. So you have this whole thing that's tied in right there. Then he has a dog named Bo, you know, and so you see him on the lawn or on the green following intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right there in front of you, and at the rose garden is, which is the Kundalini ley line, you know, right there, you know, at the capital.
Yeah, oh, phonetically, that repeating A seems to be important in symbolism, like Obama, Gaga. You know, makes me think of the Dalai Lama, that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. The repeating A is the feminine, like you said. It makes me think of that anyway. It's got the truncated pyramids, the two A's, which are, you know, pentagrams geometrically. So you have the five connecting points. So it's the...
Right, yeah, you look at A, and you see that's one of the codes of the occult, is the double A.
Mm-hmm.
It's being at one or you can see light and shadow in these two A's. That's why harp is spelled with two A's.
Mm-hmm.
What the occult does is they get the words to break down to the sigils or the ideograms. They don't care about the words. The people care about, oh, it was harp, it was harp, it was harp, it was harp.
Mm-hmm.
The occult cares about the two A's that's in the harp, you know.
There's a ton of symbolism in that. I don't know why I'm thinking about this now, but there's a ton of symbolism in that film, Beetlejuice. Remember, mm-hmm. Beetlejuice, that the character Otho is, again, resonant of the same symbolism that's behind Toto and the Wizard of Oz, the OTO, mm-hmm. the original Templar organization. And Otho in the film is, the first time we see him, he's sneaking in through a window, right? Mm-hmm. And he's wearing ruby red slippers.
Yes, definitely. See, you see the Pope in these same slippers. You see, what was his name? What was the guy name on the Smurfs, you know, with the red shoes on?
Gargamel?
Gargamel, yeah, had the red slippers, so you have the same energy there. He had the red slippers, that ruby red slippers is that Mars energy. See, you just reverse Mars and you have smart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same energy. So when they're telling you Agent 99 or 87 or 89 to get smart, we're speaking of this Aries energy, we're speaking of Mars energy, we're speaking of the month of March.
Wow.
Because we're tied in, that's why Beyonce says to the left, because you look in the ancient Egyptian statues, the left foot is put forward because that's your best foot and that's where the heart is.
Hmm.
And that's what, you know, so that's where it comes from, you know, marching and starting off with your left foot, because that's, you know, that's where that heart energy is on the left hand side.
And she wants you to really tout and wear that Saturnian ring around your finger too, because if you like it, you better put a ring on it, right?
Yeah, you like it, you better put a ring on it. So you put, you know, all the ladies up in the club. Who are these ladies up in the club? We're talking about the Pleiades. And if you look at the Pleiades, you see the club. The Orion is holding the club right there.
The seven sisters. Yeah.
And he's, yes, and he's standing there with his foot to the left. Yeah, you see it right there. You know, as above, so below. What's in the heavens, you know, is a mirror of what's on earth. It seems you prophesied all of this would end. Were you burned away when the sun rose again?
Yeah, burn.